There's many great men and ladies that the Lord used, amen, for His honor and for His glory. And I was thinking a little bit about that this week as I was looking at some of these things that the Lord had laid on our hearts for this morning. And but yet, as Brother Brent brought out in Sunday school, that I didn't even think about as I went through this lesson and studied these things that the Lord had given me, and then Brother Brent mentioned this morning, even in her song a little bit, that these men and these ladies that God used, for the most part, most of them were just what? Common people. Amen. There's very few that we could say had a prestigious, you know, background, if you will, that just was in a place to begin with, that they were, you know, popular, well-known, you know, the uppity-up crowd. Instead, it was usually the common people. I think about the most of the disciples were common fishermen, you know, common tradesmen, amen, if you will, tent makers, those types of things. And, you know, and the Lord just called them as they were out there fishing or out there doing their trade, whatever it was, working. And you think about, God's had many great men and women He's used down throughout history, but most of them was just common people. I thought about some of those down throughout history that God's taken and used great men. I think about, you know, Billy Sunday. I think about Oliver B. Green. I think about, you know, Harold Seitler. Amen. I think about many others, you know, down throughout. I think about Ron Comfort that started Ambassador, and how the Lord's used him all over the world and the different places he's been and starting a school, and many souls been saved and many young people been helped in the ministry and things through that. And you know, I thought about him. He grew up, you listen to his testimony, and it's well known. He was on a program years ago called Unshackled, and talked about how the Lord saves people and does things in people's lives. And he grew up in a drunkard's home. And you think about, you know, it's amazing to see that a drunkard's home, one that, you know, was not, if you will, you know, of God or Christian home upbringing, but yet the Lord uses them, amen, in such a mighty way, and their lives turn out the way that they do. And so it's amazing to see how God uses men and women like that all throughout history outside of the Scriptures. But there's many great ones inside of the Scriptures we could talk about too, amen, that kind of had the same thing, the same background, if you will, just simple, common folk that the Lord used. And the man that we're going to talk about this morning from the Bible, I believe, is the same way. I believe he was not one that necessarily stood out. I don't believe he was, if you will, the most popular person around or any of those things. But the Lord used him in such a miraculous way. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. The Lord used this man in such a great way that I think I could pretty much safely say, some people might want to argue, but I think I could pretty much safely say that without this man's impact and him being the great man for the Lord that he was, we wouldn't be here. Amen. In a literal sense, if you will. I know the Lord may have used somebody else other than him, and God could have, but without him, from what we see in Scripture, we would not be here today. Genesis chapter number 6, and we could read a good many verses here, if you will, but we're just going to start in verse number 5. The Bible says in Genesis 6, 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You think about what a wicked time to live in. Amen. And when I see that, it kind of reminds me of our day and time. I don't know if I could make that same exact statement, but I could come pretty close to it, right? And you think about it, seems that's the way it is a lot today. It's very prevalent that's all men's hearts is on is evil continually. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." It hurt the Lord to see. It grieved Him. It cut His heart to see, if you will, the wickedness and the shape that man was in. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." He said, I'm going to wipe them out and start over again. "Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But thank the Lord, as I've said many times, and I said this Sunday, Wednesday night, a week or so ago, if it wasn't this Wednesday, it was the Wednesday before, I know, thank the Lord for the buts in the Bible. Amen. And there's always a sermon when you see a but, if you want to be honest about it, usually. And here he says, but who? Noah found grace, what? In the eyes of the Lord. Amen. He found grace. Did he deserve grace? No. Amen. None of us deserve God's grace, but he found it. Amen. He found grace in the eyes of God. Thank the Lord for Noah and the man that he was. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you today for everything that you've done. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the great men and ladies you've used down throughout history. Dear Lord, outside of Scripture and inside of Scripture. Thank you for the great men and ladies of today that you're still using and you're still working, the common folk serving you and doing the things you'd have them to do. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning with the message that you've laid on my heart, that you've given to me for this week. I pray that you would anoint it, that you would touch it. Your Holy Spirit would speak, dear Lord, through me as your instrument this morning. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord. But let your words go forth in spirit and in power today. And I pray your will would be done in my heart and in my life and in each and every heart and life here today and in our church. Help us today, I pray. Do your will. Thank you for the help that you're going to give us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here that the Bible said in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. You think about Noah, he was a man that was, I guess we would say, he was one of those great men that God took and used. Amen. He was those great men of history, one of those that we would list, the Hall of Faith. Amen. He was one of those that God used in a mighty and a powerful way. And I say without him that we wouldn't be here today. And that is very true. Amen. Because of the fact that we know what eventually happened with Noah. And we're not going to talk a lot about the details this morning, just kind of hit a few verses along the way. But we know that without Noah finding grace in the eyes of God, building the ark, getting in the ark, that everything and everybody would have been wiped out. And I guess we could only guess or surmise from there what would happen, whether God would start over with a new creation or just not have nothing at all. But we know God had a plan. He knew this all was going to take place all along. And God, this man Noah, was one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And thank the Lord for that. Despite the sin that God saw in verse number 7, what did God give? Grace. Amen. And that's important to note because despite the sin that God sees in mine and your heart and life today, despite the sin that God sees in our world today and the wickedness and the evilness that God sees in our world today, guess what? He gives grace. Amen. Despite the sin in verse 5, 6, and 7, there is grace that can be found in verse number 8. Amen. If we'll go to the Lord. Verse 9, though, is where we're going to talk about for a few minutes this morning by way of introduction. It says, these are the generations of Noah. But before it gets into the generations, it states some facts about this man, Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The title of the message is simple this morning, and I'm not 100% sure. We're probably going to finish this up tonight because I know I'm not going to get it all done this morning. And if I'll finish it tonight, if the Lord wants me to finish it, if not, we'll finish it someday. But the first thing this morning is simply, Noah was a man of God. Amen. That's the title of the message this morning. Noah was a man of God. Amen. You think about him. He was a great man of God. But in verse 9, we see, I believe, and in verse 8, we could really tie that in as well. We see what made him a great man of God. We see what made him a man of God. In verse 9, it said, his generations, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what? Just man. We see three things about Noah right off the bat, and I put all three of these. You can write it how you want to on your outline. But when I took and I wrote this down, I put all three of these things under one point, and I'll tell you what the point is in a minute. But the first thing was he was a just man. Amen. Noah was a just man. There's no doubt about it at all whatsoever because the Bible clearly states he was one that was just. Now, when I think about the word just and look at that word just and look at it within the light of what we could just read in the whole chapter, but especially in those few verses there that we read, just speaks to me of the fact that he always acted rightly. Amen? Noah always acted and conducted himself in a just and a right way. Amen? In the things that he did in his life, despite others around him not acting justly, not acting right, if you will, what did Noah do? He still did right. He still did just. Amen? And that's hard to find. Amen? You think about in our day and time that we live in. We have a lot of people that don't act right. Amen? We have a lot of people that don't act just in the things that they do. Amen? But may I say, our Lord acts right and He acts just. Amen? A lot of times we take in our court system, and I'm thankful for the court system we have, but guess what? Our court system has flaws and it has mistakes. Amen? I'll be the first to admit that. Amen? You say, why does our court system have so many flaws and have so many mistakes? Because it needs to be reformed, or something needs to be changed or rewritten or whatever. There's some talking about wanting to change the Supreme Court and all these other types of things, and I ain't going to get into none of that. But I'll simply say that no matter how you reform our justice system, no matter what you do to try to fix it, you realize something, right? That it's never going to be perfect. You say, why? It's never going to always be 100% just. It's never always going to convict the person that always ought to be convicted, nor is it always all going to take and set free the person that ought to be set free. Sometimes we hear stories, right, where they discover evidence later on, that person sits in jail for all those years or a certain amount of time, and then they realize, hey, they didn't do the crime. Somebody else did. Why is it that way? Because our justice system isn't perfect. Why? Because humans aren't perfect. Amen? You just like there's no perfect church because it's made up of imperfect humans. The same thing's true when it comes to the justice system. Amen? It's made up of imperfect judges, imperfect juries. Amen? If you will, imperfect people, imperfect prosecutors, defense attorneys, you know, all that type of stuff. It's imperfect as well. But we see that Noah was a man that the Bible says was a just man. Amen? He was just in his actions, if you will, as much as a human being can be. He took and he acted rightly and he acted justly in all that he did. But the second thing that it says, and perfect in his generations. In other words, Noah was a man that was perfect. Now that doesn't mean this morning that Noah never sinned and never did anything wrong. That would not be a true statement. Amen? You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Noah was not God. Amen? We know that. He was not the Son of God. Amen? He wasn't Jesus Christ. He wasn't the Messiah. Amen? And so Noah took and he did sin. Amen? He did have sin. He did have flaws, if you will. But the word perfect doesn't mean that he was sinless. But the word perfect has the idea of one that's complete. Amen. In other words, that he was complete in his service for the Lord. Amen. Yes, he made mistakes. Yes, sometimes he did things he shouldn't have or said some things he shouldn't have. We all do. But he was complete in his service for the Lord. Amen. He completely served the Lord. He was perfect in the things that he did. But the third thing is the one that I take the most note of this morning anyway. It says, and Noah, the last three words of that verse, what? Walked with God. That's the first point this morning of the message, if you will. What made Noah a man of God? Because he walked with God. Amen? He walked with God. And why did he walk with God? Because he was just and because he was perfect. Amen? And because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's why he walked with God. Amen? It was because of God's grace that he walked with God. It was because of God, if you will, he lived a just life that he walked with God. It was because he was perfect that he walked with God. You say, in other words, what do you mean? May I put it this way to you? These evil people that were sinning, their hearts was only on evil continually, did they walk with God? No. Why? Because of their sin. May I say today that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and all of us could have found grace. These people could have found grace. Amen? Any of them could have found grace. But Noah found grace, why? Because he looked to the Lord. Why could he live a just life? Because of the Lord. Why could he take and live a perfect life? Because of the Lord. Amen. May I say today that if you and I are going to live a complete life, a dedicated life, a life that honors and pleases God, one that's justly, one that's perfect, one where we can walk with God and have that sweet fellowship and sweet communion with God that he desires to have with us and that we ought to desire to have with him, we've got to take and live a holy life. Amen? We've got to find God's grace to do it. We've got to find God's grace to help us to walk with Him. And so you think about what made Noah such a great man, the fact that he walked with God day in and day out. When I see that word, that phrase, walked with God, I don't believe, although you could believe this if you'd like to, I don't believe it was in the same way that Adam walked with God, if you will, in the cool of the garden back in the Garden of Eden. I believe when the Bible says that Noah walked with God, it wasn't that him and God, literally God stood there, if you will, just like I'm looking at Karen, that here's God walking right beside Noah as he's doing the things he's doing in that physical form. That's not what that's saying. It's saying simply that God walked with him. He was with him everywhere he went. Amen. Everything that he did, the Spirit of God was with him. The Spirit of God was leading him. It was upon him. God walked with him. He went with him wherever he went. There was never a time where God was not with his servant. Amen. As he was doing what the Lord would have him do. He walked with God. He followed God, if you will, in the things that he did. I put this down to describe what walked with God is here, I believe. He was a man that daily, consistently had a close relationship with the Lord. Amen. He was a man that daily and consistently had a close relationship with the Lord. Amen. We might put it this way. We say this sometimes this way, that he had short accounts with God, I believe. Amen. If he did wrong, and he did, when he did mess up, he got it taken care of quickly. Why? Because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He knew where that God's grace was. He knew where his help was. And he kept a close walk with the Lord daily and consistently. He had that close relationship with God. How in the world could he take and be the man that he was in the day and time that he lived in with all the wickedness and evilness around him unless he walked with God and do what he did? Amen. He couldn't have. And may I say today, in the day and time that we live in, if we don't walk with God, if we don't talk with God, as the old song says, amen, and He tells me that I am His own, amen, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. The only way we can live for God today is if we do the same thing Noah did, amen, if we walk with God in our lives every day. What made Noah a great man of God? He walked with God, amen. And we could plug in lots of other names here, I believe, of other great men throughout history or ladies throughout history. Of what made them a great man or a great lady of God, they walked with Him. Amen. And God walked with them. And may I say this morning, Noah was a man that walked with God. But the second thing I see about Noah that made him a great man is found down in verse number 14. We're going to skip down. Here the Lord's given some instruction, if you will, about what's going to take place. But we'll jump in down to verse 14. He says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion with that which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But," there's another good but, "with thee," with who? Noah, "his family, will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort." Now, I mark these words in my Bible. We're not going to spend time on this morning, but this is important. "Shall come unto thee." That's how he rounded up all the animals. Amen. If you will, those words tell us how they all got there. "To keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." That's a lot of food. Verse 22. Thus did, I mark these words in my Bible, and if you mark, I encourage you to, thus did Noah, according to all, A-double-L, that God commanded him. And just in case you didn't get the first words in the verse, it closes with what? So did he. In other words, the second thing I believe that made Noah a man of God, not only that he walked with God, but the second thing was he was obedient. Amen? He was obedient. In other words, he was a man that took and obeyed God. Amen? He followed God. He did what God would have him to do. We see that God took and told him, if we'd have took time to read those this morning, we see that he tells him, hey, this is what I'm going to do. The end of all flesh has come. We're going to send the flood. The rains are coming. The waters are coming, if you will. And all this is getting ready to take place. I want you to take and build an ark. And then he starts where we picked up reading, hey, this is how I want you to do it. Amen? This is the type of wood I want you to use. This is how I want you to build it. This is what the structure is supposed to be. He gives him the blueprint, amen, if you will. He didn't have to go get an architect to lay this out. God was the architect of the ark, amen? And he took and laid it all out for him, told him exactly how to build it, exactly what wood to use, exactly what materials to use, of how to keep it from leaking, the pitch, amen, and all those things. God gave him detailed instructions about what to do about this ark. And the Bible says that what? He did it. Amen. Why is this important, I believe, for us today? Because a lot of reasons, but one reason in particular, what we're looking at this morning, is the fact that you realize God told Noah a flood was coming. He told him to build an ark, right? In the simplest sense. But then God didn't, if you will, and I don't like to use this word, but I don't know what else to say. God didn't come to Noah and say, Noah, or if it was Neil, if he didn't go to Neil and he didn't say, build an ark, Neil, I'll see you later. That's not what God did with Noah, was it? He didn't just say a flood's coming, build an ark, and leave it at that. God didn't work that way. Instead, what did God do with Noah? He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And you know what? This is how I want you to do it. He gave him the blueprint. He gave him the plan. You say, why is that important? May I say it's the same thing today in our lives? Amen. When God takes and God tells you or lays on your heart that He wants you to do something, guess what He'll do? He'll give you the blueprint. He'll give you the plan. Amen. He'll give you a detailed plan. Maybe not right at that moment sometimes, but God will lay it all out. Amen. I think about the same thing in my life. It's been the same way. I think about the same thing happened with me when it come to preaching. I remember when I was a teenager, the Lord took and He laid on my heart that He wanted me to preach. I surrendered my heart to preach and to do what the Lord wanted me to do. But you know what? I didn't know where, who, how, evangelist, missionary. I didn't know any of those details. I just knew, if you will, build an ark. That's all I knew. I knew, preach. That was it. But guess what God did in His time? He gave me the blueprint. Amen? He gave me the plans. And as we go throughout life, He keeps giving us the plans. Amen? He keeps giving us the blueprint. He told Noah the details of what he needed to do. It's kind of like we've said many times, this saying that the Lord brought to my heart and mind as I saw this, it's kind of the same thing we say a lot of times where God guides, He provides. Amen? In other words, God guided Noah to do what? Build an ark. What did he do? He provided how to do it. Amen? He showed him exactly how to do it, what he needed to do. He didn't have to go say, should I use cedar or oak? He didn't have to do that. He shouldn't say, should I build it, you know, this many cubits or this many cubits? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to say, what should I use to keep this thing from leaking? No. God told him exactly what to use. Amen? He told him everything. He didn't say, well, how many animals should I get to make sure they all don't die? God gave him that instruction. Amen? He didn't say, well, how am I going to catch all these animals? No, he didn't have to say that. God told him how that was going to happen. He didn't say, well, should I go out and gather food or what? God told him exactly what he needed to do. Amen? God gave him the detailed instruction. And what did Noah do? He obeyed. Amen. I like verse 22 where it said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Amen. May you and I do the same thing today. Amen. Whatever God commands us to do, Guess what? Let's do it. Amen. He was obedient to what God told him to do. Amen. Even though along the way we know that people mocked Noah, that people made fun of Noah, that people looked at him, rain, what's rain? I ain't never seen no rain, never thought about no rain. Amen. I can't help but wonder if his own family wasn't even reluctant to get in the boat. You say, what do you mean by that? I know I'm guessing when I say that. But if everybody else was doubting, if everybody else around looked at him like he was crazy, I wonder if some of his own family didn't just go along and get in the boat. Why? Because of Noah. Right? Sometimes that happens, don't it? Just go along because of him. But their heart maybe wasn't necessarily in it. Maybe it was. But you know what? They got in the boat and they were thankful they did. Amen? And they saw that it was real. But what did Noah do? He obeyed God. Amen? Today, no matter what God's given to us, may the Lord take and help us to be obedient. Thus did Noah. Today, what has God given to you that He wants you to do? He'll give you the instructions and He'll show you. We just need to obey. Noah was a great man of God because he walked with God, number one. But number two, because he was obedient. But number three, I like this one. Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter 8. After all the rains come, after the fountains of the deep was open and the water come out of that and the flood over the whole earth and all the things that took place in the flood, comes Genesis 8 and verse number 1. Genesis 8, 1. The Bible says, notice the first four words of the verse. And what? God remembered who? Noah. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. And you could read on and see where God stopped the fountains. He stopped the rain. And He began to, if you will, begin the drying up process of the earth. The waters to go away. The waters to recede. May I say today that another thing, the third thing, the last we'll look at this morning that caused Noah to be a great man of God. He walked with Him. He was an obedient man. But the third thing was he was remembered by God. You see, today, no matter how much you may be just, no matter how much you may be righteous, no matter how much you may do your best, try your best, and do all that you can that you know to do, in the end, we need God's help. You see, Noah was remembered by God.